His kingdom will be unlike any other. He will have many names: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and the peace that it brings will never end. He will rule fairly and justly from the throne of his great ancestor David forever and ever, because the armies of heaven are utterly committed to him. On the other hand, the ancient prophecies concerning Jesus Christ foreshadows him as God's suffering servant, despised, rejected. Is he the Christ, Jesus? The Christ, Messiah, God's chosen one? But there's nothing special about him. Nothing attractive about his appearance. Nothing beautiful or majestic. In fact, he's so disfigured, he looks barely human. Despised, rejected. A man who experiences every kind of sorrow and grief. We've turned our backs on him, looked the other way. Despised, rejected. We would not care. The suffering servant carries our weaknesses, bears our burdens, and for us, he would suffer much. Yes, for us rebels, he would be whipped, he would be beaten, so that we might be healed, and we might be whole. All of us, like lost sheep, have wandered off our own way, doing our own thing, while the weight of our sins fall on the suffering servant.
Jesus knew that he would be persecuted and treated badly, but he did not say a word against it. He was taken away like a lamb to be killed, and as a sheep is silent before its shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, Jesus was taken away to die. Nobody cared that he died without children, or that his life was cut short. But he was struck down for the rebellion of humankind. He had never done anything wrong, never deceived anyone or sinned, but he was buried like a criminal and put in a rich man's grave. But it was God's good plan to crush Jesus and to cause him grief. For when his life is made an offering for sin, Jesus will have many children. He will live a long life, and God's plan will prosper in his hands. But when he sees the pain and suffering that he has endured, he will be satisfied. This is what God says: because of that experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be made righteous, for he will carry all their sins upon his shoulders. He will be given the honors of a victorious soldier because he was exposed to death. He was counted among the rebellious. He bore the sins of many and interceded for the rebels.
God sent his angel to a young woman called Mary, who was engaged to be married to a young man in the line of David. The angel arrived and said, "Greetings, favored one. God is with you." "What kind of a greeting is this?" Mary wondered. "Don't be afraid, for you will give birth to a son. You will call his name Jesus. He will be called the Son of God, who will rule on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom will last forever." "But I'm a virgin and I'm not married." "Not to worry. The power of the Most High will come upon you, and the power of God will overshadow you, and you will give birth to a son who will be called the Son of God. Even now, your elderly relative Elizabeth is pregnant with child. They said she couldn't have children. Not a word of the Lord shall fail. I am the Lord's servant. May it be according to your word. At that, Mary packed her bags and headed off to her elderly relative's town to greet her. Hello, Elizabeth. Upon hearing the greeting of Mary, Elizabeth noticed the baby in her womb, leaped for joy, and exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the baby that you bear." Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, for he has remembered the humble state of his servant. He has made me blessed, and from now on all generations will call me blessed because of what he has done. For he scatters those proud in the inmost thoughts, but the humble he lifts up. He has helped his people, and he has remembered to be merciful, just as he promised." And after staying 3 months, Mary returned to her home.
This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was promised to be married to Joseph, but before they'd lived together as husband and wife, she was found to be pregnant. Joseph was a God-fearing man, and he didn't want to shame her in public, so he decided to divorce her quietly. Having come to that decision, an angel of God visited him in a dream. "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Her child is conceived by God's Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to name him Jesus, and he will forgive his people for their sins." When Joseph woke up, he did just as God's angel commanded, and he took Mary home with him as his wife. But he did not lie with her until after the baby was born. At this time, the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus decreed that a census should be taken. This meant that everyone had to travel back to their hometown to be counted. For Mary and Joseph, this meant travelling from Nazareth to Bethlehem, David's hometown, for Joseph came from the family line of David. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger, but there was nowhere for them to stay in an inn, and they named the baby Jesus.
In the country nearby, there were shepherds staying, guarding their sheep. "Oh, an angel is here with us, and God's majestic glory is all around us. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. Today, in David's city, a baby is born. He will deliver people from their wrongdoings. He is the chosen one promised long ago. People will submit to him." "Oh, look, there's a whole army of angels. In the highest heaven, glory to God. And on earth, peace to all those who please God." "Oh, they've gone. Let's go to Bethlehem to see this thing. Oh, Mary, Joseph." "It's just as the angel said. We would find a baby snugly wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in an animal feeding trough. He will deliver us from our wrongdoings. He's the chosen king promised long ago. We will submit to him. Mary mulled these things over and over in her heart. Praise God, praise God. It's just as the angel told us. We've seen the one who will deliver us from our wrongdoings. We've seen the chosen king promised long ago. We've seen the one humans will submit to. We've seen the Lord Jesus Christ.
In a land off to the east of Israel, some wise men were studying the stars. Hey, look, that's a new star. I found a new star. What do you think it means? Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's a new star. Let me check. Aha. Uh-huh. I think it means a new king has been born in Israel. A new king in Israel? Let us go find him so we can worship him. Have you heard about this new king, born king of the Jews? Have you seen this newborn child? Do you know where we can go find him so we can worship him? Word of this got to King Herod, and he was worried. He called together the religious leaders and the teachers. What is this I hear about a new king of the Jews? Where is he? A long time ago, God told his people that a new king will be born in Bethlehem and he will lead the Jews. Bethlehem. And he called together the wise men to have a meeting with him. I hear you're looking for the newborn child, king of the Jews. Well, he's in Bethlehem. Go find him and then come back to tell me where he is so that I too can go and worship him. Bethlehem? Okay, we'll go. Thank you. And we'll come back to let you know. Oh, look, that's a star again. We must be on the right track. Yes. Oh, it stopped right above this house. He must be in there. The wise men found the child with his mother. They bowed down and worshipped him, and they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That evening, as the wise men were asleep, God spoke to them through a dream. He told them not to go back to King Herod, because he wants to harm the child. They should go home via a different route. In the morning, the wise men did as God said, and went home via a different route.
Well, welcome everyone. Happy Christmas. But now, will you please let me lead you in prayer? Let's pray together. Father, yes, we choose this morning. We delight, we choose to rejoice in your goodness to us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, God, that in your eternal purpose, you determined to come into this world in the person of Jesus to rescue us from sin, to give us life, that we might know your blessing. And this morning, yes, we thank you for Jesus. And yet, Lord, we're so conscious. We're living in a world that still is so characterized by brokenness, sin, and pain. And Father, we want to lift to you the people of Indonesia this morning as they struggle in the face of this tsunami, as they grieve over the loss of life, as people's livelihoods have just been washed away. We ask you, Heavenly Father, in your goodness, that you would pour out your grace and mercy. We thank you for people who are on the ground bringing relief. We ask you, Lord, that in this tragic situation, you, God, would raise up people that Jesus might be seen and heard and the goodness and the kindness of God might be experienced. And we pray for our own nation, Father, in the midst of all the partying of today, Lord. We're so conscious that Jesus gets buried under all the wrapping paper somewhere. But we thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit, you are powerful and you are at work in this nation today, as you are throughout the nations. And we pray at this Christmas, as the name of Jesus is lifted high and proclaimed and celebrated, we ask you, Father, to draw people to yourself. So, yes, Lord, we seek your blessing. We seek your enabling. We seek your grace. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's so great to welcome you and have you visiting with us. I can see lots of family and friends here today, and it's just a joy to be able to celebrate the coming of Jesus. I wonder if you can remember a time when you were like really, really scared, like terrified. I was trying to think of a time when I was terrified, and I had a mental blank. I'm a man, I'm not scared of anything. And then I remembered how, like, last year I was cleaning out the garden shed. And I was in the shed and it's, like, dark in there and warm. But I'm just happily getting on with everything. And there was an old piece of shade cloth in the shed. And I just picked it up and just threw it on the ground outside. And as I'm just looking at it, I'm thinking, what was that moving in the shade cloth? As I watched a snake slither across the ground. A snake that isn't supposed to be able to climb up on shelves. You realise snakes have mutated and they now can climb up. And I was kind of, I went into Kerry inside the house to tell her what had just happened. Me, brave man. Kerry tells me I was as white as a ghost. Truth of the matter is, I am afraid of snakes and spiders and becoming a grumpy old man and lots of other things. I mean, we all get afraid at times, don't we? It's true. Fear, it's a normal part of life. Have you ever noticed how much fear was recorded in the accounts of the birth of Jesus? It's really interesting to think about it. Like, take Joseph, for example. When he found out Mary was pregnant and not with his child, he decided to divorce her quietly. I mean, it was a shameful situation. It wasn't something he wanted to have anything to do with. And what did the angel say to him? Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And what about Mary? When she was greeted by the angel Gabriel, Luke tells us she was greatly troubled. And Gabriel says to her, do not be afraid. I mean, think about it for a second. How would you react if you were home alone and suddenly found a strange person in your house? Of course you would be afraid. Of course. That is a frightening situation. And I can't imagine, I can't begin to imagine how frightening it must have been for Mary to hear that she was going to have a baby conceived by the Holy Spirit. I mean, in the cultural context of the day, Joseph had every right to reject a pregnant Mary. And her family had every right to evict her, throw her out of their home. Mary had few legal rights herself. In ancient Israel, unmarried pregnant women often became slaves, exiles, or something worse. If Joseph and Mary's families weren't willing to stand by her, she stood to lose everything, even her baby. And then there were the shepherds. When the stillness, the darkness and quietness of the night was shattered by the appearance of the angels, Luke tells us they were terrified. And again, the angel's message was simple. Do not be afraid. Yes, fear is normal. It's a normal human reaction. We can go from everything is okay, yes, everything is normal, to an emotional overload in seconds. In many instances, fear is a warning mechanism that tells us to be careful of what has or is about to happen. But it also can become an obstacle that prevents us from taking a risk, from going beyond what we consider to be safe or controlled. But in the Bible accounts, fear is not where the story ends. Yes, they were gripped with fear. It's not every day you encounter an angel, is it? But the fear seems to quickly disappear as the angel's message seeps into their consciousness. Fear gives way to hope. After all this time, could it be possible? Could this child, the angel speaks of, be the fulfillment of all those ancient prophecies? I mean, could it be possible? This child will free us from our sin. I mean, could it be possible? This child will actually be God with us, caring, interested alongside us. Could it be possible that this child will be the king who will bring God's rule to this earth, God's rule to a world that seems to be out of control? Could it be possible? Could it be possible that this child will bring peace, God's blessing, God's goodness poured out without reservation on his creation? Could it be possible? What strikes me in the accounts is how these very ordinary people responded to the angel's message. And in many ways, helps us think about how we can respond. For Joseph, it was obedience. Think of the magnitude of what the angel was saying to this man. And what does Scripture say? He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. A simple act of obedience. And what of Mary? Again, think of the implications for this woman. For her, it was surrender. I am the Lord's servant, she says. May your word to me be fulfilled. This is, you are God, I am not. I allow you to be the boss. And the shepherds. I mean, the shepherds were so privileged, as it were, because do you realize what happened out on that hill all those years ago? It was like as there was this portal straight into heaven. Kind of the heaven opened up and the angels, sorry, the shepherds were looking into heaven. And how did they respond? They responded with joyful engagement. This was not, oh, ho-hum. Their portals open up into heaven all the time. No, no, no. This was joyful engagement. Let's go and see. They told everyone about the child. They glorified and praised God. They were totally engaged. How do we respond? We rejoice, we celebrate, and indeed, so we should. I don't know if you know, but for the first 300 years of the church, the early church didn't celebrate the coming of Jesus. I think the first Christmas Mass was recorded in 365 AD. The celebration was focused on the resurrection of Jesus, the one who has conquered sin and death, the one who has made it clear, God has come. And here it is. God has come and calls us to obedience, calls us to surrender our lives, calls us to joyfully engage in all that God is doing. In many respects, the idea of God breaking into our world is a terrifying thought. And yet, as we celebrate Christmas, we are celebrating the coming of the one who is good, who loves us, who longs to welcome us back into his loving care. Let me pray. Father, we do thank you for the privilege of Jesus, the gift of Jesus. And this Christmas Day, Lord, as we celebrate, as we rejoice, would you pour out your Spirit afresh upon us. May we see Jesus, not simply the babe we celebrate today, but the King who died on a cross for us and rose again and is alive today. Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. And the Lord God Almighty give you his peace. Amen. Happy Christmas, everyone. The Lord bless you.